Okay, we're going to move on to some case studies in infiltration. The first after lunch talk, the distinction of giving the first after lunch talk goes to Bill Cook, engineer with the Met Council. He'll be talking about East Bethel wastewater recycling.
Thank you. Great. My name is Bill Cook. I'm with the Met Council. I'm with the sewer side of the operation. I'm the engineering manager, and I've been involved in the East Bethel project since right after it was conceived and started. So I was involved starting with some of the public meetings and negotiations with the city and all of those things. And I've been involved sporadically ever since. The East Bethel project, I'm just going to talk about a few things. I'm going to talk about the need for the project. I'm going to talk about the regulatory process, and then go through some of the technical issues that we had to deal with, and also look at some of the political and public issues. This is the seven-county metropolitan regional area. The shaded areas are where we provide wastewater service to. We operate eight plants. Our East Bethel plant is the eighth plant, and we serve about 2.2 million people through our system. East Bethel is the circle up at the top of Anoka County, it's just north of Blaine. Back in 2007, the city initiated a comprehensive plan that said they were going to grow like gangbusters. Their plans were to generate about flows from about 30 or 40,000 people. This was a time when the Vikings were exploring or exploiting the city of Blaine for their stadium. I kind of think that was a done deal long before it happened, but we wandered up to Blaine for a while. Blaine was going to grow, I think Ziggy was talking about $300 million worth of commercial development up there, and things were pretty exciting. The Met Council also had a rural growth initiative where we were looking to connect more of the rural systems into our treatment processes. We were running pipes to Elko New Market. We were negotiating with a number of communities in the western suburbs, and we were talking to East Bethel. So we had a commitment to provide wastewater service for East Bethel and some of the surrounding areas. In the long-term service area, there's Coon Lake, there's Oak Grove Township, and Ham Lake. So those are the communities that we could potentially serve with our facility. We were not allowed to have a surface discharge because of the Rum River being a high-quality river, and we knew we weren't going to get a surface discharge permit. We also had some experiences with people trying to talk about using our water for recycle or our treated effluents for recycle, and that usually started out with a lot of brave talk about how we had free water and they could use it for free. And then the economic reality set in that we'd have to get the water to them, and somebody'd have to pay that cost, and those conversations always kind of broke down. This particular situation appeared like this was a good opportunity for us to build a recycle plant under the idea that if you build it, they will come. And so we decided to turn this into a complete recycle plant instead of one of our more traditional plants, which is just meet the standards and go. We didn't have much information about the hydrogeology of the area. We knew there was high groundwater, a lot of surface water, and there's some very unique biological communities in this part of Anoka County. The first thing we did was we tried to identify an appropriate permitting process. We worked with the PCA and decided that we needed an SDS permit. That's a state discharge system permit, which is the system they use when they don't have NPDES jurisdiction. We had it was an interesting process because we had people at DNR that loved the project. We had people at DNR that hated the project. We had people at PCA that loved the project. We had people at PCA that hated the project. The Minnesota Department of Health was I'm pretty sure they had similar issues. We brought them into the picture later on and only got to hear from one side of that agency. So we had a lot of supporters and we had a lot of detractors in this process. We did decide to use the environmental assessment worksheet process for capturing the other agency issues, and that process worked out pretty well. We gave everybody a heads up long before we were in the EAW or in the EIS process, EAW process, and so everybody came with their guns loaded. We had a lot of negotiations with the regulatory people. We also had a lot of negotiations with the city. The city wanted the project, but they were very nervous about the project, and so we had a lot of public meetings. I'll cover that later. So the first thing we did once we figured out how we were going to attempt the permitting process, we started looking for sites. And our experience in looking for sites is that as soon as you start talking to people about sites, things get very difficult. So we spent some time looking for generic sites that met our criteria. We established some groundwater criteria, some surface water criteria. We had to be out of the wetlands. We decided we needed to be about 15 feet above groundwater to allow a good zone between our mound and the bottom of our application sites. We wanted to be within an economic radius of the plant. I'm not sure we got within an economic radius of the plant. You'll see that in a minute. We also wanted to look at proximity to existing wells. So when we did this, this is the city of East Bethel. The crosshatched areas are the areas where we thought sites might exist, so we started to go prospecting. Monitoring wells, we took groundwater, we looked at whatever water quality we could find, and then we did soil borings and cross-sections. And this is a cross-section of most of the area. And it, I think we've got Coon Lake on the right-hand side, and it goes to the west of East Bethel. This is just to show you that we have a shallow aquifer in the sand. We have a clay till layer, and then we have the rock formations with the aquifer that most people in the area seem to prefer. We did our desktop study. We did some general calculations about groundwater movement and capacity to take application water, and basically what we ended up with was trying to find sites that we could obtain. We had three kinds of sites. We had sites that the city already owned and was trying to get rid of. We had sites that developers wanted us to. Excuse me. We. I'm not sure what I did there, but it was pretty exciting up here.
Bumped into that.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, don't tell them what I did. So we had a bunch of developers that wanted to sell us crappy ground. We had the city that wanted to sell us excess property, and then we had people who wanted us to bail them out of previous bad decisions. So. We ended up essentially looking at property that the city owned. They had bought a piece of property from the county, the county had some excess property and wanted to sell it. So we bought it. City bought it. We're renting it. And then MnDOT had some excess property that they wanted to get rid of. So they gave it to the city. That's how valuable that property was. It was landlocked. You couldn't get into it. Don't know why MnDOT had that property, because it's right next to Highway 65, but they did. So it was. So we ended up looking at a lot of sites. It was an interesting process. We ended up focusing on two sites. I don't think that's going to work. The site to the right of Highway 65 bisects East Bethel, north south. The site to the right is the site they bought from the county. That's near a Superfund site, as well as a sandhill crane nesting area. The other site was along Highway 65 near the northern part of the border. My slide actually ended up in the wrong county, but it's up at the top. So we ended up with two sites. We needed two sites. We wanted to be able to apply on a peak basis about 1 million gallons a day to each site, and these sites were capable hydrogeologically of taking that kind of flow. So we started doing some long-term water quality monitoring and some long-term water level measurements on both sites. We added more wells so that we could have upgradient wells and downgradient wells and some wells in the middle to see where the mound was and how it was behaving. And then we did a fair amount of hydrogeological modeling. We looked at emerging contaminants. We had the USGS. They've got a scan of a large number of contaminants. These are the ones we got hits on. This is the existing groundwater. What I found interesting was that there's DEET everywhere. The every sample we collected had DEET in it. So you can take your own conclusions from that. Last time I tried to suggest it was sample contamination, I got in trouble. So there's DEET in the water. There's caffeine in the water. And this is just a list of what we found. These contaminants are all at very low levels and well below the limits that the USGS was looking at. And I just want to reiterate that this is water quality before we've started anything. So everybody in the area that surrounds both of these sites uses septic tanks for their wastewater process, and they use private wells for their water supply. This is site A. This is the northern site. And this is site E, which is the southern site. The red dots are just showing where the wells are. We did some travel time analysis to see how long the contamination or the quality of water, how long it would take for it to change. We did some preliminary groundwater modeling, got comfortable with the sites, secured the sites, then we started design. This is another picture of East Bethel. It looks the same. It shows the two application sites and the treatment plant, which is down in the south edge of town. You can also see there's a red line on this drawing, and that's the influent sewer that we were building. The city of East Bethel was in the process of building a water treatment plant, and so our pipe goes to the water treatment plant because that'll be one of our customers. It's also if we extend that pipe, we can get to Oak Grove Township. The southerly edge of the pipe is deep enough to serve Ham Lake and Coon Lake and areas to the south. We have pretty buildings. We're in an industrial park. The rest of the industrial park looks just like this. I wanted to have a little conversation about the water quality parameters that we were given and the water quality parameters that we chose. The SDS permit was a pretty easy permit to meet. It had essentially secondary treatment standards for organics and solids. They gave us a total nitrogen of 10 and a phosphorus limit of 1 milligram per liter and a coliform requirement, and we didn't think that was appropriate for what we were planning to do. So we've essentially designed this thing for 5 milligrams per liter of CBOD, which means the organic material is almost completely gone. The total solids is 5. We expect the total solids to be less than 1 because we're going through membranes. We're doing total nitrogen removal, so we have processes to get that down to about 5 milligrams per liter, and the phosphorus down to 0.5, and then we're using a combination of UV disinfection and chlorine residual to maintain our distribution system. I just make a point. A lot of people use the drinking water standards as a level to achieve, and it's those are important levels, but I don't think they provide enough protection for groundwater quality because I did a little consulting work in a previous life for Miami-Dade and Miami-Dade County, and they always said they met the drinking water standards, but there's more to it than just the drinking water standards. So we picked levels of treatment. The permit levels would have met the drinking water standards. That we didn't think that was good enough for us. Just talk a little bit about the processes that we're using. We're doing preliminary treatment. We have to pump it out of the ground. We pump it out of the sewer. We pump out of the sewer. The sewer has a lot of storage capacity in it. Because this is a groundwater plant, we wanted to have some place to put the stuff if we were having a treatment plant problem. And we can store a day's worth of flow upstream in case of a process upset. So that gives us time to fix things and move on. Once we pump it up, we take we screen it, we take the grid out of it, and then we run it through a biological phosphorus removal activated sludge process. And then instead of clarifiers to return the sludge, we use membranes. And so we're using micro MF membranes, and that's what's treating our, that's what's providing us the last level of separation. After that, we go through UV disinfection and chlorination, storage, and then we pump up to the distribution systems on demand. The sludge that we generate at this plant gets thickened in the membrane process, and then we truck that to Fridley. We have a site at Fridley that accepts liquid waste in trucks. So if you've got septage haulers can go there, we're taking our sludge there for the time being. That goes to the Metro plant and is treated again at the Metro plant. This is the this is an aerial photograph of the northern site. It's landlocked. We did negotiate an easement, so we have access into the site. Each of these sites has a metering vault, so we can meter the application that we're doing. This is the southerly site, and the subdivision to the north of this, I want to talk about that a little bit. There's a lot of people there with wells. We were concerned that some of them might have shallow wells. We offered these people city water, and they declined. We checked every well for depth. The wells that we didn't know how deep they were, we got a well driller in to sound the wells. There was one shallow well in the subdivision, and they got a deep well out of the deal. So everybody within 300 feet of the property line of the site has a deep well. This is a cross section of our applications basins. This is we looked at some of the new technologies, and we ended up, this is essentially a soil absorption field kind of design. Since we're pressurized, we use the pressure in the main to distribute the flow. We're down deep enough so that we're not concerned about frost. We're intending to apply material to these basins, apply it to one basin, let it rest, apply it to the other basin, let the first one rest, and go back and forth. We are concerned about freezing, so we did some temperature modeling, and decided to put insulation over the top of the pipe to hold the ground heat in the system. This is just the layout of one of the basins. We're able to segment the basins, so if we're not applying at a at the design rate, we can let certain areas of the basin itself rest. This is just a section through the basin showing the critical elevations that we designed to. We did look at the effects of groundwater levels at different application rates. This is a mounding model at 50,000 gallons a day, 205,000 gallons a day, and this one is 400,000 gallons a day, which is our average daily flow in 20 years. These were kind of important to me because I had to go in front of the neighbors and explain to them that we had this all figured out and we weren't going to flood their basements and we weren't going to change the quality of water in their wells and those kinds of things. And so we're trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. This is a model just of the other site. And so these application basins are where we're planning to put the effluent until we can identify some reuse opportunities. We've been in contact with a couple of golf courses. The problem with golf courses is that maybe 9 months out of the year they're frozen. We have a problem with golf courses because they're seasonal. That's one of the problems with reuse is that it's mostly seasonal and we have two very different seasons. There's some sod farms up here and we would expect that as the community develops and they get new subdivisions, we'd start working on a dual system of potable water and recycled water. Once we get this thing in operation and get the bugs out of it, we would expect to start exploring agreements with people to reuse the water. Wanted to talk a little bit about public communications. I talked a little bit about the city council meetings. We had a lot of public meetings. We raised the level of awareness of the city government amongst the residents of East Bethel, and shortly after we initiated construction, they changed the whole council. And I think now they're changing back. I think that's one of the cycles that cities on the edge of the urban area go through. The old guard runs the city, and then the new guard comes in, and the old guard gets them kicked out, and then the new guard gets them kicked out, and it goes back and forth a while. And we're somewhere in that process at East Bethel. We had a number of public hearings. I had some difficult neighborhood meetings. The most difficult one was with the people who lived adjacent to the southerly site. And it was difficult because they had legitimate concerns, and we had answers, and they had concerns, and so we got through that and made some changes to our design to accommodate those things that we could accommodate. At one point, we were looking at some school board property for one of the application sites, so we went to three or four school board meetings. And then we had a number of Met Council meetings that we went to present the concept and the status. So there was a considerable amount of public involvement in the process. I think we are committed to providing a reuse supply for people. The city at one point was looking at a downtown type development, and we had talked about using our water in some surface water features that they were interested in. We'll see if those come back. So this is the first recycle reclaimed water system that the council has embarked on. We are planning to start this up in June. We have about a mile of pipe that we need to connect. We need to connect it so we have flow to our application sites. The city needs to connect it because that's where all the flow is coming from. They're abandoning a treatment plant up in the northern part of the city that should have been abandoned a long time ago. And that piece of pipe, there's two pieces of pipe. One is to bring the wastewater to us, and the other is to take the treated effluent back to the application sites. We're going to start receiving flow in June. We're going through about an 18-month commissioning process where we have the contractor and a contract operator and our staff working together to understand how to operate the plant and to get trained so that the transition between the contractor and to our staff is seamless. Probably in about 2 years, the council will be staffing that site and operating it full time. Are there any questions?
Questions for Bill over here. Let's wait for the microphone. How much did it cost?
We're at about $20 million. We have to build a lot of infrastructure for the future, and that's always expensive. Yes?
Follow-up question. What would it cost the city of Bethel to rebuild this treatment plant? If you're saying that was really needed to be taken care of a long time ago, so what would it cost the city of Bethel?
If they had done the treatment plant, well, there's a number of treatment plants in East Bethel. I think the city owns two of them, and then there's a private treatment plant. And then there's also a plant in Bethel, and the city of Bethel asked us to take their flow as well. So there's a number of plants. It would have been cheaper for the city to fix that treatment plant. But that wouldn't have fixed the other plants, and then that wouldn't have given them any room for growth.
Will the public be kept in the loop as far as the results here over the next couple, 3 years?
Yes, they will. I'm not sure what the reporting requirements are for an SDS permit, but I suspect that we have to report our results on a monthly basis. And that's all public information, and we will be in conversation with the city on a regular basis, giving them updates on how we're doing and what's going on.